The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, how does God feel about year-in-review radio shows? Does God even like such programs? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I really have no idea, but I do know this. God does like my good friend Jim Barrier, and I know Jim Barrier likes year-in-review radio shows, so there you have it. Jim Barrier, welcome to our program.
Wow, Bob, that's the shortest intro we've ever had.
I didn't give the usual monologue this time. My Christmas present to you, a little extra airtime.
Oh, man, well, Merry Christmas. And you know what? I do like to take a view back and see how things are, because I think if we understand our past, it gives us a clearer perspective of the future. Somebody said something like that once.
Yeah, especially when America's past has been so incredibly stupid lately. There's a lot of takeaway. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you are as patriotic as they come in, and we love this great country and the history and the things it was founded on and the principles that it was built on. And so we get discouraged when we see people doing dumb things. But that brings me to my first point. And before we really get back and look at the year 2018, we do have to cover some current events, because that's part of what we do whenever I'm on the show.
Jim, because any current event so far would still be in the year 2018.
There you go. Well, and so the first thing, talking about how smart people are or how dumb people are, this was probably a revelation to you, just like it was to me. But finally, Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii cleared it up for us. Democrats are just smarter than everybody else.
Oh, I know. That's why she knows that when a woman accuses a man, she's automatically telling the truth. And there's nothing to even question, because she and her fellow Democrats are smarter than us. And she's proven that with so many things that she said.
Yeah, and so it just helped me a lot to understand why the Democrats seem to be so out of touch with the American people, because they're smarter than the American people. And if more Americans were educated and intelligent and up to the standard that she and her cohorts are, well, they would get it.
You know, Jim, politicians like that bring a few words to my mind. Glittering jewels of colossal ignorance.
You know, and again, we're going to go back. I've said this on the show a number of times, but the two most common things in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. And, and that's not to say that I think I'm smarter than anybody else, but my goodness,
You're smarter than some. You're smarter than some, that's for sure.
I am, and I'm dumber than some, but I just thought, how offensive was that to label that?
You don't understand. When a Democrat or liberal says something, it's never offensive. It's only offensive if a conservative says it. Those are the rules.
Well, yeah, obviously. And so, guilty as charged, I have probably been offensive on many points. And I, you know, I try to behave when I'm on this show, but sometimes I'll take a contrarian point of view. And because, after all, it's the Bob Siegel Show, not the Jim Barrier Show. So, you know, I can get away with some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is why often the folks that are listening, I have to give the disclaimer that the views presented here are not necessarily those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting Network.
Right.
So you know, I thought about this whole thing. I thought, Maisie. Let's have some evidence. And immediately what came to mind for proof of her case that Democrats are smarter was just to look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, my goodness. Every time she opens her mouth, and yet she's become so popular, I have far less trouble with her and more for the people that follow her. This is like the Pied Piper.
It's amazing.
Did you hear her three branches of government? The House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency. Those to her are the three branches of government, yeah, according to our Constitution.
Yeah, well, she probably went to a different school.
She forgot this little thing called the judiciary, although lately I kind of love to forget the judiciary myself.
Well, we're gonna talk about that in a little while, I hope. But I just thought that was just an incredible bombshell for me. You know, it's like, I mean, obviously, the two different sides, and we are a three-party system. We have the Democrats, the Republicans, and the rhinos, who we like to make fun of. And so even the Republicans seem to have a hard time getting along.
Well, you know, it's funny, even as Cortez makes these blithering comments, the other blithering gaffe chief, Joe Biden, says he's more qualified to be president than anyone else. I think we need a panel show with Biden versus Cortez called Name That Gaffe.
Now, you know, last I heard, he said he was the most qualified person.
Yeah, that's what
president.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he was honoring a military vet one day who was confined to a wheelchair, and he stands and goes, "Stand up right now so we can give you a big applause." I mean, it's just...
I know. It goes on and on.
But Dan Quayle gives an alternate spelling of potato, which actually was an alternate legitimate British spelling. He never hears the end of it.
Well, and of course... George Bush Jr., the second George, he took an awful lot of ribbing. People really painted a picture of him as being stupid. They did the same thing to Sarah Palin. And so,
the things they're saying about Trump, they have said about all Republicans.
And they would have said
it about anybody who gets in. Trump gives them more ammunition, but Trump also fights back. But people forget George Bush was compared to Hitler practically every day. And he was about as mild and as mannered as Clark Kent.
And the truth is, and I've rebuked people on both sides, I remember people saying that about Obama and comparing Obama to Hitler. And I said the same thing with him, or Hillary, or whoever. And until one of these people starts rolling tanks through neutral cities and killing people by the millions because they don't like their religion, stop it with the Hitler comparison.
Yeah, the only caveat I would add is that, of course, we mostly think of the latter Nazi regime with the concentration camps. But in the early Nazi regime, where people like Margaret Sanger were consulting with Hitler's eugenicists and having him write articles, and you compare that to President Obama voting against the Illinois Infant Protection Act, there are some things that the Nazis in the embryonic state did that you could compare. But I do agree with you. It's overdone. If everybody's a Nazi, nobody's a Nazi.
Yeah, and I've heard it all my life. I mean, I remember people comparing JFK to Hitler because he was charismatic and he'd get a crowd worked up and everything. But it just, you know, it's a terribly unfair thing, because even if you're just referring to a certain method or style or whatever, when people hear Hitler... Hitler is universally, well, except for a few Aryan folks, but Hitler is generally, he's the villain, he's a bad guy. There's not a lot of question in most Americans' minds. Yeah, he was a bad guy. And so if you mention his name in association with whoever it is, then what you have said is this guy is evil.
Yeah, and yet we have people today that are real anti-Semites, people in the Middle East that want to exterminate the Jews, and the very people that are calling Trump Hitler are defending the people in the Middle East that want to exterminate the Jews.
This is very, very bizarre. But as we've said many times, there's not a lot of logic involved here.
No, we're living in the days predicted by Isaiah, the days when they call evil good and good evil.
Yeah. And I think if Mr. Spock were to visit us, he would confirm his convictions about the lack of logic in the human condition.
Yes, he would say it was Vulcan in the early days when they had more in common with their Romulan brothers. And you and I are dating ourselves as a couple of Star Trek geeks, even as I speak.
I have no shame. I am not embarrassed about that, Bob.
Yeah, be proud of your Star Trek convictions. Come out of the closet, Jim. Wear it as a badge of honor.
I was never in the closet. I might have been in the transporter room. But oh, man. Okay. I keep waiting for the music to start, but you didn't do a real long monologue.
No, the music's only going to start when you're in the middle of something, Jim.
Okay, well, let's get into the next thing here. It comes to my attention now that the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special was racist. Did you read that one?
No, I've heard lately that Snow White is sexist, and I've heard about some Christmas carols we're not allowed to sing. What did they say about Charlie Brown? Because they gave thanks to God? Did that? Because Thanksgiving meant we took the land away from the Native Americans, right?
This is a different. It's quite a creative angle.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they're all at a table having dinner. And Charlie Brown's lone Afro-American friend, Franklin.
Yeah, I remember that character.
Yeah, he's sitting on one side of the table, and the rest of them are on the other side of the table.
Oh, for pizza. Yeah, I'm sure Charles Schulz sat down and said, now let's make sure we look like segregationists and put Franklin on the other side of the table.
They attacked us. They went after it. And then I looked at the scene, and here's what I found. This is great. Franklin was the only one at the table who had silverware.
Also,
the rest of them, I guess, had to eat with their fingers.
So the ill-mannered heathen were the white people, then.
Well, and here, this is more profound. When you look at the scene, to me it was eerily like most renditions of The Last Supper. I just this past year, for the first time, got to see the original Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper painted on a wall, in Milan, and here's Jesus on one side of the table, everybody else on the other side, and I thought, goodness, Franklin was a type of Christ in that piece of artwork. And so, there's always another angle, but...
hey, I can't let this go by. Speaking of the Last Supper, did you ever see the movie The History of the World Part 1, Mel Brooks? Where there, it's the Last Supper. Mel Brooks walks in as the waiter and he says, "Excuse me, before you go on, is this going to be separate checks or all together?" All right. Well, now we really do have the music.
I hear the music.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
listening to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my rotating co-host, Jim Barrier.
All right. Now, let me just continue on a couple of things, and then we're going to jump into last year.
All right.
Now, shortly after the Charlie Brown controversy, the old cartoon Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Now, I heard a little about this today, but I didn't get it. They were accusing Rudolph of bullying the other reindeer somehow?
Well, here's the story.
I thought the whole story was that Rudolph was being bullied. How are they turning this on its head?
Well, actually, the part that I heard that was controversial, the story is sexist.
Because Rudolph's a male reindeer and he pulled the sled.
And one of the female reindeers, one of the men says this is work for men.
Can't they just give a little grace that this came out in the early 1960s and allow for cultures to? You know the problem, Jim? The problem isn't with the idiots that make these comments. The problem is with the cowards who roll over and play dead and give apologies, and the network executives that maybe will go and cut that out of Rudolph now. That's the problem. We need to put a stop to this utter nonsense. I don't even care. It's not like Rudolph. I don't even remember the last time I watched Rudolph. It was probably 25.
I never liked it.
I didn't like it anyway. It was probably 25 years ago. But now I want to go and watch the thing just to defend it.
Yeah, I love the Charlie Brown stuff. I wasn't too big on
Charlie
those
Brown
early.
Christmas is one of the classics. That's still one of my classic ones of all time.
Yeah. The Rudolph one wasn't a big thing for me. And the truth is, it was a great message. I have seen it. And it's him, and then there's the little elf that's a misfit, and they sing a song about not fitting because they're not like everybody else. And it was actually a great story about including people who weren't just like everybody else. But now it's sexist, and so it's on the bad list.
I thought you were going to say that Santa, by making Rudolph the head reindeer, it was like the schools that are having valedictorians instead of saying everybody's the valedictorian. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, the participate ribbon. I personally just think that, you know, you mentioned people rolling over and why do they allow it? And I think we've seen so much evidence that people get fired. People lose their job. They lose their income. They lose their reputation.
I know, and I hate to say this, but one or two people are going to have to be willing to do this. This cannot go on, Jim. It'll be the end of our country. It can't.
Well, we are on the slippery slope.
It starts with Rudolph. Next, it'll be the gospel. You know there's people out there that want to outlaw the gospel. There are more important things than Rudolph that are on their radar.
Well, and that's what the next one, and this is under attack now, VeggieTales. Which is a very Christian.
I would think that people from PETA would love VeggieTales because they don't want us eating animals.
That's great.
I thought vegetable was a good word.
No, it's racist because the vegetables are all different colors. You see, and
what's wrong with different colors? That's the rainbow. Nothing we do is going to matter.
Well, apparently, some of the characters in the VeggieTales have different accents or dialects, and they say, see, they're being racist. And I'm thinking, okay, now, isn't it racist to say that if a person talks a certain way, that you're assuming their race just by their dialect? Isn't that a racist?
We need to create a new race of people called intelligent people who are offended by stupidity. That's what we need to do.
I mentioned it this morning in my message this morning. The problem is those people are the prophets, and the prophets live in caves and hills because they get stoned to death by the religious elite. And
it does show you that not much has changed. These things that happened 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, 3,000 years ago for the Old Testament, they're still going on. Human nature has not changed.
In a great sense. There is nothing new under the sun.
Well, and remember when Jesus talked about how the people of Israel would decorate the tombs of the martyrs?
Yeah.
But in the days when the martyrs were still alive, they're the ones persecuting them. Look at the way George H.W. Bush was honored by the liberal media, and yet they just crucified him. They annihilated him while he was president. But now, because they can compare him to Trump, it's somehow he's been grandfather clause. Same thing. Ronald Reagan's been grandfather clause, deified. But they couldn't stand either one of those men when they were president.
No, there is a lot of hypocrisy, double standard. And I was kind of disgusted with people who took that opportunity when they're honoring a man who served the country, who led the nation, and to use that to bash Trump. It's like, you know, that's so inappropriate.
And frankly, as far as decision-making goes in the presidency, George H.W. Bush was not one of my favorites. I certainly voted for him over Clinton. But remember when that Rodney King riot took place and the men were found innocent? Well, he went and started a federal investigation. It was taken to a federal court, and then they were found guilty. Now, I'm sorry, but that is unconstitutional to try somebody for the same law twice. I know we've had a Supreme Court ruling which says if it's federal court, it's different. But the Supreme Court has made a lot of rulings that are unconstitutional.
They have. And I, you know, truth is, George H.W. Bush, my fondness for him has more to do with the Dana Carvey character on Saturday Night Live. I used to love the way he lampooned
him. Very talented, yeah.
He was great. But, you know, I remember when he ran. Of course, he was Uncle Ron's vice president. And he had held so many positions and offices in the government. I said he was probably the most overqualified person to run for president. He had too much experience. And he was the ultimate insider.
He was, but unfortunately, he had learned so much about politics. He made that "I will not raise your taxes, read my lips" pledge, and then he broke it.
And then broke it.
I hated to see Clinton won, he deserved to lose for breaking that promise.
Well, he did, and that's probably the thing that I dislike the most. And though he worked with Reagan for those 8 years that were very healing for this country, he clearly didn't buy into the Reagan agenda or Reaganomics, and he did not imitate his predecessor very well. But you honor a man, you know. I don't care who it is, you know. When a president dies, it's the office that you respect. And I've taught on this again, you know, in our congregation. We're told by St. Paul and Peter that we're to pray for the leader, pray for the king. We're to honor the king. And by the way, the people that were king over those first century Christians were killing Christians.
Yeah, they were. Okay, we'll talk more about this when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
audience living in the San Diego area or to any of my radio audience who live anywhere else in the world and just want to hop on a boat or plane to get out here, I will be signing copies of my novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, and its two sequels, Inside the Castle in the Glass and Characters and Kings, this coming Wednesday evening, December 12th at Skyline Bookstore and Cafe. You can buy as many copies of any single book as you wish or get all three books in one group package deal for a special discount. Either way, it's just a suggested donation. Much better deal than Amazon. The evening will also include me reading aloud several chapters of Dangerous Christmas Ornament, author Q&A, raffle for a Skyline Cafe gift card. That's this coming Wednesday, December 12th, 6:30 to 8:30. Come for part of it or come for all. Skyline Bookstore and Cafe. For more details, just go to my website, bobsiegel.net. Look right on the front page under Events with Bob. You are welcome to the event, even if you already own the book, even if you don't own the book and have no desire to read it. Although exactly why you would feel that way, I'm sure I don't know. But anyway, there is no financial obligation to attend. I would love to meet you anyway. And as for you Christians out there, I know how you think. So if something else is going on at your own church that evening, just come anyway, and I will make sure your absence is excused by personally writing a note for your pastor. That's Wednesday evening, 6:30 to 8:30, book signing and presentation for The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, Skyline Bookstore and Cafe. But for now, say hello again to Jim Barrier.
I would love to be there for that.
Well, what's keeping you? Get on a plane.
Well,
don't take American. Yeah. That's what I took the last time I went out to Texas.
I can't take Wednesday night off. I am the pastor. So,
I'll write you an excuse for yourself, Jim.
Okay. So this year, we did lose George H.W. Bush. And aside from being president, you know, he was... he fought in the war. He was a pilot, and so I consider him a hero on that level. And a lot of people don't know he was a baseball player. He played baseball in college, played in two college World Series, and so he gets some extra points from me for those things.
I didn't know about the baseball. I do honor him more as a war hero and less enthusiastic about his term as president. I do want to say this, though. When he died, it was proper to honor him. It was proper to have some specials. It was news, but boy, on Fox News that morning, on Fox and Friends, and of course I record them so I speed through it, but they would not talk about anything else. I don't think anybody even knew that we had an earthquake in Alaska, a big earthquake in Alaska. I think it was a 5.1 the day before. It drives me nuts when these are supposed to be 24-hour world news networks, and that's all they can talk about? Again, I'm not saying it isn't news, but good grief, I've just got so tired of it.
I think
that doesn't mean I don't honor the man, but we got to do something about these news networks.
Well, we could start our own news network.
We have, Jim. It's called the Bob Siegel Show.
Siegel Show.
It's just not on for 24 hours a day. That's all.
So we lost, I think, a great American and. Earlier in the year, his wife Barbara passed away, and she was probably my favorite first lady. She didn't care about the fashion industry. She didn't care about public opinion. She was just who she was, and she'd go out in her robe in the garden and pick roses. She was just so real and down to earth that she was something special, and we lost her.
Well, I think the first lady that has the monopoly on I don't care is the one that wrote a shirt that said I don't care on the back of it.
Well,
Melania Trump.
Go. Boy, and then they blasted her for that.
Yeah, of course.
We also lost one of the greats in church history, Billy Graham.
Yes, now he is one of the few televangelists that I have ever
met. He changed the world. He changed the way we look at evangelism. He made evangelism modern. He brought it to the media, and he was part of the transition. I have great, great respect for Billy Graham, and so we lost a real hero of the faith. We also said goodbye to Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, personally my favorite female vocalist of all time. And then these two might appeal to you, talking about this, at least Stan Lee, I don't know if you're.
He's the author of Spider-Man, isn't he?
Yeah. He was the genius behind most of the Marvel things, and I'm more a DC comic kind of guy, but Marvel certainly is making the billions on their movies.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because growing up, I was DC and not Marvel, but in the movies, yeah. I think the Marvel movies have been better than the DC ones.
So they have, and some of it is just numbers. I mean, they put a movie out every other month, but
they're owned by Disney now too. Disney owns everything from Star Wars to the Muppets. They haven't gotten Star Trek yet, but they own the ABC television network, Disney.
Yeah, and ESPN. And so I always tell people, if you're going to boycott Disney for their political positions, and you can't watch ESPN anymore because they own ESPN, so no more sports.
Well, centers. Disney's positions have been pretty liberal anyway, though, lately. Not anything the real Walt would ascribe to.
Well, in my opinion, when Walt died, that corporation died. I think his brother took over briefly, and Michael Eisner, and it all became about the money. Walt made money, and he was good at that, but he would do projects that lost money for years.
And he took risks, and he'd make a movie and then lose his shirt on the next one because he was willing to take artistic risks.
And they lost all of that, so then it became, well, if you can't beat them, buy them. So they just started buying all the creative people out there. And then finally, Neil Simon. I don't know if you're a Neil Simon fan.
I am not, although I know many people. There's a couple of numbers he's done that I've liked. Mostly I felt like if you heard Odd one, couple. You heard them all. But I loved Solitary Man, one of his early ones.
Neil Diamond, Solitary Man, actually. Anyway, so we lost some people this year, and every year this happens. And a couple of years ago, people were going crazy, going, oh, my gosh, there's so many of them dying. And I did a little research and said, here's the deal. They're old. And the average, I took this list of maybe 20 or 30 high-profile celebrities that passed away, took their average age, and it was exactly the average age of Americans or British people when they die. It's just,
And have you noticed that celebrities tend to die in threes? One dies, and a week later there's two more. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Can't explain that, but I've sure observed that. We'll be right back. This is Bob Segal. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Back again to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Segal. Always a joy to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Jim Barrier, who loves the tune Carol of the Bells.
That is one of my favorite carols.
Oh, man. I probably have 20 different versions of that.
The John Winston version is one of my favorites, too.
Okay.
George Wilson, I think, actually, that is.
Yeah, George, yeah. Now, let's give some time to, let's talk about how the president has done in 2018. I know we did this last year, and we gave him pretty good marks for his first year.
Not as good as the marks he gives himself. He gives himself an A+.
Well, of course he does. You know, it's part of his shtick. I think he sometimes he just wants to rile people. You know,
I think so too. But you know what? I would give him that. I went from, like I told you many times, I could not stand this guy at first. He has done more than Ronald Reagan did his whole 8 years in office in just 2 years. And that's with everybody, including his own party, his own Justice Department, everybody and their brother being against him.
Yeah.
His own lawyer turning on him.
And it's probably because all those people are smarter than the rest of America, because I think there's an awful lot of middle America that says, you know what, I like this guy because he's not like them. And so it's kind of a two-edged sword, but how do you think he did this year?
I think he did great this year. When you look at the economy, when you look at the fact that we're respected around the world for foreign policy, I had not been following much with trades and tariffs, but I am understanding now that we really were always getting the shaft and the low end of the stick. And I have no problem with a president who says, I'm going to put the country I am president of first. And people act like, and then when you get back to the Hitler comparisons, when he calls himself a nationalist, you go, oh, Hitler called himself a nationalist. Okay, Gandhi was a nationalist. Franklin Roosevelt was a nationalist. Yeah. That's like saying Hitler was a vegetarian, so everybody from PETA is a Nazi. That's how stupid that is.
You know, you might have something on that one. But
Hitler owned a pair of shoes. Everybody that has a pair of shoes is a Nazi.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like what he's done this year. Now, probably the standout thing, and I have said this easily since the 70s, that the most important thing about who gets elected president is the president is the guy who nominates Supreme Court justices.
Well, that's the long-lasting effect, yes.
Well, and that's what I think I'm concerned about. I have grandkids. I want them to grow up in a free country. And this guy put two pretty solid people in the Supreme Court who should be there for quite a while. Now, I know there was controversy, and I know that people, you know, they would like these guys to do every single thing the way our politics view things. But I'm just telling you, I think Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are two great appointments to the Supreme Court.
I think they are, too. And you know who worries me is Roberts. First of all, we've had a history of conservatives getting on, and they tend to, over the years, get more liberal. Not all of them. We've had standouts like Clarence Thomas who haven't. But a lot of the conservatives end up turning liberal on the court. We never see it go the other way. We never see. And when Roberts says he's concerned about the court's reputation because of the Kavanaugh controversy, he said the same thing when he went along with the Affordable Health Care Act. He said, I have to protect the integrity of the court. Excuse me, Chief Justice Roberts, the integrity of the court is not what you're there to protect. The integrity of the Constitution is what you're there to protect. We don't care what the court's reputation looks like. And I'm just concerned that he's going to make decisions out of that kind of motivation. So it's going to be bipartisanship on the court.
Consider the option, my friend. What if Hillary Rodham Clinton had made two appointments to the Supreme Court? I think we'd be...
Oh, well, no, I agree. I'm concerned about Roberts, but don't get me wrong. I'm very, very grateful for the two justices that Trump just appointed. So,
and probably 70 or more appointments at the appellate level and district level. He is really... going to town on the justice system, and I'm telling you, in the long term, in the big picture, and because the courts now have become much more involved in legislation, even though it's supposed to be interpretation.
Yeah, they shouldn't be, but because they are, we need to be concerned about who gets on the bench.
And so I'm saying he's really focusing on what's extremely important to the fabric of this society and the health and welfare and future of this country. And so I'm really, really pleased with the fact that this guy is not holding back, and he's putting judges on the bench right and left. And the fact is, if he has an opportunity in the next year, he could likely put another one on. Now, if we get into his fourth year of his term, then they're going to fight him, because it's the same thing the Republicans did in Obama's last year, and they were not going to let him put a judge in during his last year. What they are overlooking, though, is there's a really good chance that Trump could get reelected. You know,
and if he gets reelected, we could easily get two or three more.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
And so those things to me, I know the guy. He's a twit. He uses Twitter. He's a Twitter. He's a tweeter. I don't care about that stuff. I don't even do that. And I know he's obnoxious. And, he's entertaining when he was doing a reality show.
We have to separate his personality from his policies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the truth is, in the information age, there are some past presidents that might not have fared well.
And Jim, who cares if a president acts presidential but then sells us up the river? I don't care how presidential he acted.
I
care about the policies. Well, it's a stupid term anyway, but, gentle, more mild-mannered, smiles more. I mean,
I don't know. A kinder, gentler. Oh, we already talked about him.
Who cares? Who cares? So, yeah. I would rather have somebody in there fighting for what's true.
And he's getting stuff done. And you mentioned the economy, unemployment is down, wages are up, gas prices right there on Townhouse before your show. They talked about gas prices are down across the country. I'm just going to tell you, I paid $1.86 for gas the other day here in San Antonio.
And if we want to look at something that we've avoided under Trump, just look at France right now.
Oh, man. So the economy is getting stronger, and that should not surprise anybody. The guy's a businessman. He knows how to work a deal. So that stuff is good. And you mentioned our strength as a nation internationally. We're doing better. I hear music.
Absolutely. Well, of course you hear music, because we're doing better. We'll be right back. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Valduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Valduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar, or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Valduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredvalduti.com.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
I won't be with you for the next 2 weeks. I will be taking some time off for the Christmas holiday. However, as always, the Bob Siegel Show will still air with a couple of selected repeat broadcasts. My two annual Christmas specials will play consecutively, one next week, one the week after. Next week, my own selections for the top 10 holiday movies and videos of all time, along with my scathing critique of the two worst holiday movies of all time. The following week, a tradition I have loved honoring on our program, my interview with Sylvia Lang, niece of Hugh Martin, who wrote the second most popular Christmas song of all time, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I will be back on December 30th to do one more live show in 2018. And of course, right now, we are still live. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
All right, so we've got maybe one more segment here tonight. By the way, you're hitting all my favorite Christmas songs. We went out to O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, a great, great song. And then we just heard God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And I just want to share with you, Bob, you may or may not appreciate this, but a few years ago I recorded that song, but I did it to the tune and melody of the theme from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, and I can hear God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, whatever you might say. Hey, I see
It works. And I called it God Rest You Merry Gilligan. So,
you know, you could also put Amazing Grace to Gilligan's Island. Gilligan's Island to Amazing Grace. It works both ways.
I did a whole album of Amazing Grace to popular secular tunes. It's hilarious. But
okay, well, my gift to our audience is that we're not going to do any of those songs like that right now.
No,
that is our Christmas gift to you.
So let me hit a couple of last things here as we close out the year. And maybe on the 30th when you're back, maybe what we'll talk about is going into the next
year. Yes, Jim will join me on the 30th to close out the year for me. Or with me. With me, not
and,
for me.
And we will look. Me. We will prognosticate about 2019. So a couple of things. We had just incredible natural disasters this year. It was tragic, and there were lives lost and property lost, and it was a terrible thing. You know, we had fires. Now you're having the mudslides after the fires. We've had hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. And I just want to say something. Volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis are no way created by global warming.
Yeah, well, depending on your view of how old the world is, let's just go with the evolutionary view, they were around for a million years or so before human beings were here. So how were we responsible for all that?
I know. And the truth is volcanoes might contribute to climate change. People were blaming the California fires on global warming. I'd say it had to do with some of the bonehead things your governor has done to make it, more likely for fires to spread, and cutting back on fire prevention equipment and planes. So, you know, some of it was politically enabled. But these things happen, and they're part of nature. It's like you said, it's been happening all through history, and so don't politicize that. That's all I wanted to say about that, Bob. I pray for the people. I have friends in California. You're in California, and I'm from San Diego, and I have people I worry when these things happen about the welfare of my good friends, and they're tragic things, but it's equally tragic to politicize those things for an agenda.
Far more tragic than those things is Sacramento. I'm reaching the point where I want to be somewhere else and say, I am from San Diego, but that's not because of San Diego. It's because of Sacramento.
Yeah, well, you got some goofballs up there, I think, Bob.
Oh, that's the nicest way to put it, Jim.
Now, I wanted to close out because you know I love pop culture, and you mentioned you're going to talk about your favorite Christmas movies and your least favorite Christmas movies, but a little year-end review about the movies. Did you see and did you like or not like Avengers Infinity War?
Boy, there have been so many of those Marvel movies, and I've seen a few, but not a lot. I don't even remember if I saw that one. I don't believe I did.
Okay. It got bad reviews. People didn't like it because it has kind of a down ending, and I don't want to no spoiler alerts here, but I'm just going to tell you, it's Hollywood. They'll bring people back from the dead if they need to keep the franchise
going. Oh, of course.
Going.
Star Trek and Mr. Spock proved that to us.
Well, and Doctor Strange can do these little time warps, and he can go through little holes
in
the universe.
Right.
But that one was kind of tough for me, but there's a sequel coming out, and in fact, it just set records for people watching the trailer. They're so excited, they can't wait to see how they're going to resolve all those things. Did you see Crazy Rich Asians?
No, I remember hearing of that one. I have not seen it.
You know what? I resisted that. I thought everything I saw, but I thought, this is not the kind of movie I want to watch. It just screamed chick flick. It screamed, you know, I thought incredibly racist to do a movie called Crazy Rich Asians. That just seems offensive. And my wife and I watched it the other night, and I loved it. So I'm going to recommend, Bob, that you check out Crazy Rich Asians. It's really a pretty funny movie, and it's just another, what it is, it is another spin on maybe the most oft-told story of all time. It's the Cinderella story once again.
Oh, okay.
And but I was surprised that I enjoyed the movie and actually laughed out loud a few times during the film. There's some crazy characters in it, and so I enjoyed that movie.
Did you see Ant-Man? That was one of the few Marvel ones that I know I did see, those two Ant-Man movies.
Yeah, I wasn't really, really engrossed by it.
There was another Ant-Man played by Garrett Morris on Saturday Night Live years ago. I thought that was a much better Ant-Man.
Completely different, yeah.
They were joking about the idea of an Ant-Man, and now the movies are taking it seriously.
Funny. Well, anything goes. And like I say, you know, they put out a Marvel movie about every other month, and so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And now the next DC Aquaman movie's out.
Yeah, I liked that character when they did it in. Last one.
Go ahead. Quickly.
I watched Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell. I loved it.
It was called The Christmas Chronicles?
It's on Netflix.
Okay, I will check that out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope to see some of you at our book signing on Wednesday. Skyline Cafe, signing of The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Go to my website for details. Next week, top 10 holiday movies. I will be back live with Jim on December the 30th. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas. And I don't mean happy holidays. I mean Merry Christmas, as in Christ, Christmas.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.